15 people were shot early this morning on Chicago's West Side. It happened at a big Halloween party. Two of the victims are in critical condition. Police say they've arrested the shooter. A witness says the man opened fire into the party after security guards wouldn't let him back in. A telegram from Pope Francis to the people of Maine was read aloud tonight at a vigil by the Bishop of Portland, Robert Dealey.
His Holiness commends the souls of the dead to the loving mercy of Almighty God. And he prays for the recovery of the wounded and the medical personnel caring for them.
18 people were killed in a mass shooting Wednesday in Lewiston. An early winter storm blanketed the Denver metro area yesterday. The snow has been causing delays at Denver's huge airport. Ryan Blaney and William Byron have earned the final two spots in NASCAR's championship race, joining Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Blaney took the checkered flag at Martinsville Speedway today. Byron led the Cup Series with 6 wins this season. He earned the 4th and final slot in the championship with a 13th place finish in Martinsville today. Blaney and Byron will face Larson and Bell next Sunday at Phoenix Raceway. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Here are the trick-or-treating hours in communities throughout central Wisconsin on Tuesday, October 31st. In Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren, 5 to 7 p.m. In Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. In Pittsville, 4 to 7 p.m. In Vesper, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. There will also be games and a movie at the community center in Vesper. Here's wishing everyone a safe and fun Halloween.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 22 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 35 tomorrow. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
The way he looked at me felt like the right size of jeans. Looking into his eyes, I felt mine crinkle at the seams. Couldn't help it when he touched my hand, my heart skipped a beat. Even though I know he's not the one that God picked out for me, I know that he'd show me the light and leave me in the dark. But I would let him pull me in and give me the moon and stars. What happened to I'm okay? I won't go another day waiting for someone to call me baby. Wishing he wouldn't be the kind to leave, but fate ain't something you can wish away. I can't make this what it's not. Drunk mind spill sober thoughts. He was the young dreamer I met in the fall, and I was a different person when I thought I knew it all. Things get a little out of hand when you let life's game play on. I never missed someone that I never knew till I met him on that lawn. I know he's a different person now than who he was with me. And now I see the one I miss is just a memory. not drunk man spills sober thoughts. Didn't know that I said those three words that night till you shook me awake and I looked into your eyes. Said I didn't mean it and I became someone I'm not. Terrified cause I knew drunk man spills sober thoughts. What happened to I'm okay? I won't go another day waiting for someone to call me baby. Now I'm drinking wishing he wouldn't be the kind to leave. But fate ain't something you can wish away. I can't make this what it's not. I can't make this what it's not. Drunk mind spills sober thoughts.
Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this October 29th, Session 40. Oh, we've been doing this for about a year, Seth.
A year?
It's pretty cool.
Can you believe that, man?
Wow. Your host and program director here, James J. Mailoff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, the mics are on, let us roll.
Yes, indeed. We have someone we've had on these airwaves a little bit ago. We've been really lucky to get her a couple of times, and and today she will be joining us, like you are probably understand, it's over the phone for today, but we've still got lots of her music coming up here. James, who do we have?
We asked the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage winner of the 2023 Hoosel's Rise to Music Singing Competition, incredible singer, songwriter, local favorite, and friend of our station, Kyler Cuzio. Kyler, good of you to join us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you working with me, doing this remotely.
Did anybody catch what I did there? I wanted to say good morning, and then I didn't want to say morning or afternoon. So I was just, good day to you. I don't know what that was.
That was good.
I'm glad you did, because I was about to say it too, and I know that.
Kyler, we know how busy you are, and in fact, I've been talking about it. Like behind the scenes, Kyler and I have been going back and forth trying to make this work, and I appreciate again so much you doing that. And part of the reason why it's been interesting to me is because you are just I feel like you are days, months, maybe a year or two away from being just as big as all get out, and you are too big for our shows, and we wouldn't be able to schedule. So it's not surprising that it took us a little while to make this work, because you are an up-and-comer. You are really doing some great, great work out there. It's been about a year or two since you joined us on WFHR's kind of FRM Fridays and part of Hoosel's Rise Music Competition and everything. And in that time, I want to go discuss your journey, but we can't get to there before we go. We rewind a little bit. First off, as we touch on your history and you, I want to get to your origin story, if you don't mind, Kyler. How did this all begin for you, your journey in music? What was some of your first instrument you played?
Oh yeah. Well, the first instrument I played was the fiddle when I was like 10 years old. And I saw someone playing it at the fair back in my hometown in Ohio, where I was, you know, little kid looking at all these cool bands playing, and there was a lady on stage with a blue fiddle, and I just thought it was the neatest thing ever. And turned out her dad actually taught lessons, and so I started taking lessons from that family. And long time down the line, now I actually have the blue fiddle. I ended up buying it from her when she was upgrading.
Oh, is that cool? Oh, that is awesome.
Real full circle for me. But yeah. I started off there, and then I started writing songs and stuff in middle school, and I wanted to... I mean, I always sang, I guess. My dad would play guitar, and I'd sing along with him on the porch, or my siblings used to do, like, karaoke shows at the fair. So there was always singing. My grandparents were always listening to, like, RFD TV music special shows, and I just ended up wanting to be able to sing for myself, so I had to learn how to play the guitar. So
Awesome. I encourage people to bookmark the webpage, KylerCuzio.com. Just throw it into your search bar and it should be able to pop up right away, KylerCuzio.com. It's not only a great place to listen to Kyler's music, learn more about her, but there is a picture she shares on this website of her at that age of Ted, and it is such an adorable picture, Kyler. That reason alone, you got to go there and check that out. It is a great picture. And you tell a little bit of that story. But I didn't know about the blue part, the blue fiddle, and that you got it one day. Oh, that is so cool. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Would you say you touched on your father in that? Did you come from a musical family?
Yeah, I would say that my family was very musical, but my dad was the only one that really played the guitar, and he didn't really sing. And so he, he did, but just, you know, for fun. Mm-hmm. And my siblings, they all sang quite well. They were all in just different show choirs and stuff. My brother actually had auditioned he won a local competition, and he ended up like winning a ticket to go to New York for American Idol, like that type of thing. But he never did the playing out live shows, playing an instrument, anything like that. So I was definitely kind of the one that, I don't know, what's the saying? Say that takes it and runs with it.
Yeah, right, took the ball and ran with it. Yeah, yeah. So for you, when it comes to that influences, early influences, obviously this lady you saw with the fiddle, that was a huge influence. What were some other influences for you growing up?
Well, I got to see Leanne Rimes in concert I was pretty young, but I was not technically allowed to go to the concert because it was in a casino. the merchandise lady, because what my family and I would do is every now and then there'd be a name at the casino that I wanted to see, but I couldn't, so we'd go and hang out in the lobby because you could overhear it through the wall.
Nice.
Like my mom would read a book and maybe my dad would play some blackjack and then I would just get to sit and listen to the music. And the merchandise lady at Leanne Rimes ended up taking pity on me and she like snuck me into the concert.
Wow.
So I got to see Leanne Rimes as my first concert when I was like, I don't know, 10 years old and in a casino.
Right on. That's a good
story.
But
that was always a big influence on me. It was just those, like, her amazing vocals. Like, Leanne Rimes just is out of this world with her vocals, and she, I don't know.
Yeah.
She did a lot of those traditional songs that really showed me, okay, some, like, you know, the traditional country music isn't just for, you know, the oldies station.
I could hear that because I think even I felt a little of that, not knowing country that well and into the genre as much. When Blue came out, that hit me. You know, that was a song. I couldn't get enough of that song. And then I find out how young she is when she does it. My two favorite singers of all time, Billie Holiday, Patsy Cline. I can't get enough of either of those artists. And I never heard anybody who made me think of Patsy Cline before until I heard Leanne Rimes singing Blue. And not to say that they sound alike or they're very similar, but there was something about that song that hit me like the first time I heard Crazy or Walking by After Midnight or something like that. I could see that being not only, it sounds like she wasn't just an influence, or not just somebody that you, your first concert, and an influence, but somebody that inspired you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially with her doing it at such a young age when she came out. It just kind of showed me that, like, you know, you can do it at that young age. And then, you know, there's people like, back when I was learning how to play the guitar, Taylor Swift was coming onto the scene, like early 2000s, about 2010 or something would have been when I, 2010. Just seeing those people. And then Ed Sheeran, he does it, like, most of his stuff is solo shows, and he just uses his loop station, and he just, like, captivates people. And so it's kind of a mixture of me starting out doing music at a young age and then also just doing it by myself all the time. I definitely looked towards those people that didn't necessarily have the big band sound or the big band name.
Yeah. Just a singer and a guitar, it sounds like, is kind of where a lot of your influence came from. And it makes sense, considering that is a big part of your what you do. You mentioned Leanne Rimes. You mentioned Ed Sheeran. it's a little similar, but different styles of music. Do you find other genres to be influential for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd say, I don't know exactly what I'd even classify myself as at this point.
Yeah.
I recorded about 6 songs earlier this year down outside of Nashville, Laverne, Tennessee, at a studio called The Record Shop. And that was fun because I got to work with just a lot of very talented musicians. And like the session player that worked with me was one of the house band musicians for the Opry. So it's like these people are just so qualified and so good. And they really helped me create something that I thought sounded pretty authentic to like a rootsy country sound. But then I also have like a song on the track that sounds pretty much like the Colby Calais song. So,
wow.
I've definitely got a lot of influence on like my live shows. I tend to do a mix of country, rock, blues, some pop. I'm refraining from just listing off every person that's ever influenced me. The list is long.
Oh, it's understandable, especially when it comes to music. Everybody's playing the same notes. It's just doing it differently in a different style. And I think that especially when it comes to artists, modern day artists or just artists that I look up to, it is a wide range that they are influenced by and that they incorporate into their own work. That
for sure.
Also seems to keep it fresh for the artist, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Like, especially even with the live shows, you know, I do a lot of different covers that I try to keep people maybe on their toes so they don't just go into autopilot, you know?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. And so, like, a lot of times it'll be, say, within the hour, it's going Loretta Lynn, Miley Cyrus, Stevie Nicks, Lady Gaga, Waylon Jennings. You know, so it's
awesome.
Just kind of it keeps things. I mean, I try to keep the general energy of the things, you know, in a nice, smooth, maybe transition for the most part. But
I can tell, and it shows in your work. One of the things that I was doing for after the interview here, I saved for myself. I haven't heard your version of Pumped Up Kicks. I'm looking forward to listening to it. So I've been saving it for myself. I came across it over the weekend. I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to it after the interview. I'm looking forward to it.
Faster than my bullet.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, that's a good one. Make sure that you're watching the actual song version, though, because I put that... I put out a blooper reel from recording that song.
Oh, awesome. Oh, check it out, both. Oh, I got to check out both. Okay. Good on you for doing that, too. Because I think that that's one of the coolest things when I see artists. I feel the same way about movies. When I one of my favorite things, like dating myself, but DVDs and getting blooper reels. I think it's not only fun for the fans, but for future artists out there who look up to you and to these artists, it's important to know that, hey, not everything's perfect. I mean, you know, part of the beauty of this of art is the imperfections in it.
For sure. Yeah, and I think it just makes people... Well, I've heard feedback from people since I started adding those in. Like, a lot of times my covers or my live performances that I post online, I'll add in some of the bloopers at the end or maybe like a little bit at the beginning when I'm trying to intro it, just to keep it candid. And people will comment and tell me like, oh, I love the goofy parts at the end.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've learned to stick around because you always throw those in there. And I think that, people just like seeing a little bit of your personality as an artist.
You told us about kind of the first concert that you took in. What about your first concert performing? What was that like?
I'm trying to think.
Been a while. Yeah, you've been doing this a while already.
Yeah, well, not my first concert, but the first time I think I sang on stage, I would have been like in kindergarten or something.
Okay.
And
wow. It was a while ago.
My sister brought me on stage because, like I said, my siblings would do those kind of karaoke shows during the local festival. And they brought me up kind of as the cute factor, I think.
Yeah.
I remember I sang Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson with her.
Nice. Oh, God, that's got to be great.
Ridiculous. I don't know if there's... I'm sure there's got to be a video of it somewhere. My family has, you know, those just boxes and boxes of VHS tapes somewhere.
But, all right.
That would be a fun project for me to try to
Yeah, find. Definitely, but definitely.
Come in handy someday for behind the music.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Throw it onto the website as a little Easter egg on the...
Yes. So I bring that up, Kyler, because part of the reason you're joining us, of course, is the Hoosel's Rise music competition that wrapped up a little while ago. We say congratulations to third place to Jordan Bain, who will be joining us very soon again. Second place to Lattice River Bottom Fig Plucker, which I just can't say that enough. great gentleman. He joined us a little while back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Kyler, who came in first. And, again, congratulations about that, Kyler. Well, very well earned and deserved to you. What made you want to be a part of the competition?
Well, I guess there's always, with music, there's always a craving for, like, validation or recognition. Like, with any of the arts, you know, you want to know if you're doing a good job. You want to get some sort of, like, indication on, you know, if you're doing something right, doing something wrong, and you want to be able to grow from it. And kind of perfect your craft in a way. And I think that that's always what drives me to those competitions. That's really, you asked about like my first concert, and most of the first performances I ever had were for talent shows. That picture you saw on the website, that was from the first talent show I think I was in. And I started out doing those because, well, I lived in a small town and that's about all you could do as a kid. but then I find them to be very useful because you can get authentic feedback from people, and you can take some of it and you can think, okay, that's good advice, but maybe not for me. You can really just reflect on what you hear from the audience and what you hear from the judges and kind of shape yourself going forward from it. And with Hoosel's, I wanted to do it again because I knew that the crowd that was there was into the music. They were excited about it last year, the first year. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to be able to go back with, especially with my originals, because I think the first year I was really worried about the entertainment side of it. And I don't think I did as many originals. I don't remember. But I wanted to, especially since I had recorded originals, I wanted to be able to put those in front of people at this competition and just hear what do these people think of my stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I really appreciate the honesty and the transparency in that answer. And I think that there's a lot that, whether you're a young singer, a songwriter, or just anything that you're doing in life, you could take a lot from that. I appreciate that, Kyla. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
We will take a quick break right here. We'll come back more with Kyla Cusio on Director's Cut here at WFHR. Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hear you.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everybody. We are thankful that we are very humbly and thankfully joined by Kyler Cuzio. We're so happy to be talking with you, Kyler. We were talking a little bit about your music and your performing. I'd like to get a little bit behind the scenes and you as a writer. I've been doing a deep dive on your work over the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that I really wanted to do was get familiar with your originals. And I came across a song, Pretty Paper Rose, and I played it on our sister station, WIRI, in the Sunrise show the other day because it hit me so hard. I'm like, I got to get this out there. Other people have to hear this. Not knowing the genre as well, I wasn't sure when I listened to it that it was an original. I didn't know if this was something, because I don't know that many country songs, so I wasn't sure if it was a cover or not. It didn't take me long. It was in the first couple of lines. I'm like, no, that's her. And not saying this like we know each other that well, but the bit I know of you, it's like I felt like I was getting to know you even more through the song. That's a gift, not only as a songwriter, but to your audience. How is your approach to writing, and how do you manage to do that?
I guess I try to listen to like what my brain wants to talk about. I feel like when I'm writing a song, I have to kind of get to a quiet place. I have to just slow down, calm down, and think about what I need to tell people. And every now and then it comes to me if I like when I'm listening to other songs and I think, like, that reminds me of this situation, or this reminds me of my life or a story I could tell. I'll get ideas from that, but then when it comes to the actual writing, I kind of just have to... I have to dedicate some time to it, I think, like, to really unpack what I'm gonna tell people. And so I guess I start off there, and a lot of times I write songs, but I don't, or I write lyrics, but I don't have the melodies for them. And so, like, right now I've got, you know, pages of just lyrics I've written that I need to put to the music and stuff, or compile them together. But it all kind of works in its own time, I guess. When the song's ready to be finished, it gets finished. But
is it especially with the genre of country music, it seems really like the true artists, but the artists that really last and really stick around a long time, it's a balance of being able to do a cover, maybe a classic country song, while also being able to write your own work. How do you balance that out, though? Say you're putting an album together and you want to have a little bit of a mix of both. Do you find that you maybe one, two covers, that's about it, and mostly originals? Is that your approach to it?
Right. Well, like at my live shows, I'm doing a majority of cover songs at the live shows, and then I'm sprinkling in my originals to give people kind of glimpses at what I'm doing, like what's my long game. Because people already have connections to, you know, all those covers and stuff, but then they haven't made those connections to songs that are original songs from local artists. And so you want to give them the opportunity to do that without just, you know, throwing them into the thick of it when they were going out to the bar on Friday night.
Right.
But on my channels and stuff, I tend to, I haven't been doing much on it right now because I've been in the middle of, it was wedding earlier, now it's moving into new house we bought.
Pretty busy, pretty busy.
Yeah, on the online front, the priority is the original stuff. I like to get the covers out there to mostly on feedback from people, like what are the ones that people really like my rendition of, and then get those out there. But then first and foremost, put the original music forward online so that people can really understand, like, me as an artist, and maybe not just like the cover musician getting the paycheck, you know.
Yeah.
You said I forgot to order your flower yesterday, so I drew you this rose all in red just the same. This one might have taken me a little bit more time, but it was worth every minute if it can make you smile. Yeah, he got me a pretty flower.
on a note card 3x5. A picture perfect rose with a note on the other side. Well, I might not have the finer things, but I got me this one. And it's Crayola strokes of life are second to none.
You've got a true original voice that I hear it and I know it's you right away. I can't say that about a ton of singers, but I think there are a handful of singers out there that just happens with, and you happen to have one of those voices. One of the things that I find is so really interesting with you and your work is I feel like I can feel that voice through your lyrics and the songs that you write. Do you try to write to people, or do you write for you?
I guess it's a balance of both,
yeah.
But I mostly find that I write for, I guess I write for myself because of, in the sense of what do I need to put into words and
get out
of my system. But then also I try to put it forth in a way that people can feel it. Mm-hmm. For themselves. I tend to, I don't necessarily change what I'm writing and how I write it to make it where people can relate to it easier, like, or make it overly generic or anything. I still try to stay pretty specific to, like, exactly what I mean, but then say it in a way that people, even if they haven't experienced the exact same thing or I don't know, they don't have the exact same situation, they understand the feeling of it. They can kind of put themselves in those shoes.
You know, your answer is very, and if you find any comfort in this, it's very similar to things I've heard everybody from, like, Barry Gordy to Paul McCartney talk about with songwriting. They ask these people, how do you make a hit? And you don't try to. You write from the heart. You write what you know. And it seems, and by doing just this kind of, like, personal thing, you do something and create something that is so relatable to so many. So I pick up on what you're saying there, I think, and it's very similar to what I've heard some others talk about. That's interesting.
Thank you.
When it comes to writing and performing music, you've got such a passion for it. I imagine there's a lot of things that you were born for. This is one of them. But I'm curious, as creatives, we all can relate to this. Those are good things. But do you have other creative outlets?
sort of. Over the years, I've done different things that I think that it's interesting that people can kind of be good at just about anything that they want to, if you set your mind to it, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times people look at the arts like that, you know, like you're either
awesome or you're not, or you're like, you were born with it or you're not. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't be half as decent as like maybe I am now if I hadn't just done this since I was a kid. And mm-hmm. so there's other things that I've noticed, like, oh, I could probably do a pretty decent job. Like, I enjoy drawing. Like, I enjoy drawing, like, animals, people, like, kind of realistic things. I'm not good at the abstract creative stuff. Like, my brain doesn't work, doesn't allow itself to have that much freedom. But
oh, yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
But, like, there's things like that that I enjoy, but they're definitely, I think that all of the growth and stuff went towards my music. Like, I think that maybe I could be a lot better at those things if I hadn't spent all my time doing music.
Well, right. You kind of hit on that too. You know, I always like to remind my students and other, you know, actors and creatives, nobody ever got on a bike and learned to ride it right instantly. Like, you know, it takes time. It takes falling sometimes. It takes training wheels. It takes a lot of those things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I was in theater and stuff as a when I was younger and high school, college and stuff. And I always enjoyed it. I always thought it was really fun, but ultimately it kind of maybe it helped me a lot in growing to be comfortable in front of people. And I think that is what I took away from it, where I guess I needed it.
Mm-hmm. Kyler, just a couple more quick questions. Do you have a dream venue, if you could play, you would play? Madison Square Garden, Red Rocks, places like that?
Absolutely Red Rocks.
Yeah.
That's the one.
We hear a lot of that. That's a pretty common answer for musicians.
I just talked to a friend of mine that actually went to a show at Red Rocks like last weekend, and she was telling me about how weird it is. Like, you got to walk all the way over to here, and nobody told her about all the steps. There's somebody.
Yeah.
You got to go down into the pit area to get down there. It's just amazing experience. That's a really good answer.
That's probably my favorite concert I saw was at Red Rocks.
Who'd you see?
I saw Tyler Childers there.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. Yeah. I meant that was a good show. Yeah. Kyler, what is some of the better advice that you have been given, whether it is as a musician or just in life in general?
I'd say probably, man, this is...
That's a tough one. It's a tough one. Yeah.
No. probably just to stay authentic to oneself. Not trying to replicate anything. I think that something that I was fortunate to be able to draw from, like, going to different open mics and talent shows and stuff growing up, was watching other people and seeing the things that I liked and didn't like as much about performances. And the one thing that really stuck with me was the feedback from people telling me, like, you sound like you don't sound like you're imitating anything or doing like any sort of impersonation of a musician. And that was just a very common and like powerful, I guess, word of advice from people. They were like, keep doing that, because having your own sound and not sounding like anything else, you know, like, I don't know, people would say, you know, we already have a Dolly Parton, we already have a Miley Cyrus, so, like, just be yourself and don't try to, I mean, you can take influence, but don't try to emulate exactly.
Yeah. I remember telling my dad that I idolized Robin Williams, and him telling me right away, Jimmy, you don't want to idolize people. That means you want to be them. You could be influenced by people. And that's it. There is a key difference to that, I think.
For sure.
Do you have any pre-show rituals? Do you have anything you got to do before you hit the stage, Kyler?
Get the sound system all right.
Yeah, right on. That's a good one. That's a pretty good one to check off, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that prevents any other rituals, just going on. I'd say... Not necessarily, no. I always need to get my water with no ice. Probably some sort of caffeine, depending on how late the night is.
Right on.
And Yeah, I mean, I guess you could, if you asked the people that travel with me sometimes to help me with my equipment, they'd say that that equipment is the ritual, because, like, got to get the merch stand perfectly, mm-hmm. like, oriented, and yeah. the tables. Like, I'm so, like, just particular about how yeah, my gear yeah. is laid out, like, neatly and stuff, but... No fun and like quirky rituals for me.
The routine is what can be, I think, the key to that. It really helps you, you know, feel more confident on stage, more comfortable on stage, and that makes sense. I get that. Kyler's got some amazing dates coming up. She is, I mean, just got a great tour going on right now. I see that by the time this airs, Kyler, you're going to be coming up in November at Chet and Emile's in Burnhamwood. You got yeah. some other great shows coming up. Looking forward to seeing you real soon. And I want to encourage people to go to KylerCuzio.com. You can go right under tour and catch the dates of where you can see her in your neck of the woods. But we have kept her way too long as it is. So, Kyler, just one more question, and then you're done with us for now, because you got to come back and, of course, do the live show. we're going to bring you in as much as we can. We're luring you into being our house band. That's what we're trying to do, Kyler. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Oh, boy.
Standard reaction.
It's the reason I save it for last. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll go with Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, nice. Good one. Nice one. Oh, good one. What made that her come to mind?
I know that I'll probably regret it and be like, oh, I should have said someone, like, you know, really influential for a cause. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. First thing that came to mind, Marilyn Monroe, because I just think it would be awesome to – I always have thought it would be awesome to just have a conversation with her because of just how larger than life she was, mm-hmm. just to know – what was going on inside her head?
For what it's worth,
I've always heard she was pleasant, but mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know, media.
I don't know if you've heard the story or not, but Ella Fitzgerald famously would go, you know, do these shows and everything, but they would always make her come in through the back door. Marilyn Monroe was a gigantic Ella Fitzgerald fan and wanted to see her perform and heard about this and said, well, you're not getting me unless she can come in through the same door I am. And all of a sudden, after that, every concert Ella Fitzgerald ever did, she was coming in through the front door. You speak of people with causes. Marilyn, had a bit of that in her. Maybe it wasn't publicly, you know, famously known, but that's certainly a famous story of her. So you hit the mark. You hit it.
For sure. Yeah, because I think that,
Well, and she was the first... kind of like superstar, really, like a female superstar, bombshell, whatever terms you want to use and everything. And really the benchmark afterwards, not only people that we meet, but hopefully things that we learn from. Okay, we don't want to treat people this way. We got to learn from this and that kind of thing, too. For so sure. I think that would be a wonderful conversation, I bet. I think that's a good answer.
For sure, because I think that even in today's world, you know, you got people that are in the spotlight and maybe misrepresented all the time, and you know, someone that was one of the first kind of victims of that, be able to hear what was their story.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we're thankful to get a page or two out of your story, Kyler. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Looking forward to having you join us soon to be able to hang out with us during our morning show. And just wishing you the best out there. Break a leg. Have yourself a great run with this tour. And we're looking forward to talking to you again real soon. And again, congratulations on the Hoozles Rise to Music singing competition.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. It's been too long. It's awesome to chat with you guys again.
Yeah, we'll do it again real soon. Take care, Kyler. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyler.
Thank you.
Remind me once again just who I am because I need to know.
Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 22 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 35 tomorrow. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns.
Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israel's relentless airstrikes on Hamas targets are creating a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, says CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv.
The UN has warned of a breakdown of civil order, saying hundreds of people have stormed their warehouses in a desperate search for food and basic supplies. Large parts of the territory have been cut off from communications, but CBS News producer Marwan Al-Ghul managed to report today scenes of despair and utter desolation.
Vice President Kamala Harris tonight is making a distinction between the Palestinian people and Hamas terrorists.
It is very important that there be no conflation between Hamas and the Palestinians. The Palestinians deserve equal measures of safety and security.
She spoke on CBS's 60 Minutes. CBS's David Martin says two U.S. Navy ships are headed to the Middle East at this hour, carrying sailors and Marines in case Americans need to be evacuated from Lebanon or Israel.
The two will join a third ship already in the Mediterranean, making for a total of about 2,400 sailors and Marines equipped with helicopters, vertical takeoff.